Morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning. How are you all?
Hey, very good.
Good. How you doing?
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. What is on your mind this morning?
Man, I can tell you that doing this exercise the first time of the segmenting the clients based on revenue and like that is what an eye opener. I guess until you do it, you don't know, Rob. You really don't know. You don't know. I mean, you kind of think every client is a good client and this guy and that guy. And it's when you put the numbers there and you see kind of everything that you've talked about, but we really hadn't done it. I mean, we had kind of done it, and then and to see the numbers is pretty dramatic and very inspiring.
So what did you discover?
Well, I found out that, you know, of the 120 clients that we have, we did in total $1.6 million last year.
Yeah.
I took that down to the 70 that you suggested that we just have as a target, keeping what we have right, if we just have what we have right now and nothing, doing nothing else. Because I just wanted to see what effect that would have. So basically, reducing those 50 clients, we lost $40,000 in revenue. 50 clients. If I took it down from 120 clients to 50 clients, we lost $150,000 in revenue. We still did $1.48 million in revenue with 50 clients. And if I took it down just for giggles, I mean, I took it down to 30, to 20. If I took it down to 20, I'm sorry, if I took it down to the top 30%, we did, which is 36 clients, we did $1.3.5 million. Which means 84 clients basically accounted for the other $200,000 or $250,000. 80 clients did $250,000 in revenue.
Right.
If I did our top 20, it was $1 million in revenue. So that means 100 clients did 600,000. So I'm telling you, man, it was just really a big eye opener as to and the thing is that it's, you know, some of the accounts, you know, under 70, you know, there are still some accounts that, there's a lot of accounts that we wouldn't want there. And there's a lot of accounts in that under 70, like, you know, I'm saying from between 50, 36 to 70 that I don't want, or that, you know what, we really haven't done a good job with that. It's what you've said in the past. We've given every client, I would say, basically, under, I would tell you, any client under that top 30%, we have not done a great job of really, really, really bonding and really exploiting maybe the opportunities that are with this client, either to have them, you know, move on, or to see if there is potential to really start engaging with them at a higher level and give them the service. Because these other top 30 are getting pretty much probably that A-level service. It's the other 90 that aren't. And where do these other ones fall in that might have, you know, $800,000 but really are number 60, you know, or $1 million and they're number 42. So, anyway, really, really, really insightful and encouraging, because it you know, it takes away your any type of anxiety that you have of like, wow, I'm gonna reduce my book, because, well, if I can reduce my book by you know, 70 clients and basically give up $100,000 in revenue. You know?
Right. Yeah.
It's incredible. I can't believe it.
Well, so now, I mean, now what do you want to do? I mean, what's your plan from here on with these clients?
Well, now that we just kind of like went through this exercise, I'm just going to really, I'd like to go through, you know, those accounts and kind of start seeing, you know, I know that we have to, we haven't done our folders yet. I don't know if we're supposed to have done that yet. I'm kind of thinking we haven't really done them yet. We're trying to figure out that. I want to go through these guys and really kind of, do I start first having a conversation with our bigger clients saying where we want to go, or do I start with the bottom ones that we might consider really just letting go? And I guess what I'm kind of confused is, I know, and what I've read, and this is just really, I might have just like read through it, but at some point we're going to have a meeting with some of these clients to either bring them up to speed or to let them go. And I guess I have to go through establishing again what we talked about, our minimums, and make sure they're within our minimums. So I think I still have a lot of things to work through in my head, kind of. I mean,
So remember, there were 11 screens for your minimums, right?
Right.
Right, so we're using, at this point, one minimum.
Right.
So you,
number one, count by production.
Right, so let's make production, and then profitability the most important thing, okay?
Got it.
All right, so instead of 3 million and 1 million, is a target minimum and an absolute minimum, what's your revenue number? What's your revenue? Is it 30,000 and 10,000?
Oh, for revenue. We have some accounts that we do our trade a lot. I mean, some of our accounts, either through structured products or our managed accounts and stuff like that, we have some that are actually higher, that are like a return of asset of 1.8. I mean, we have some very high revenue clients that are in that top 30 clientele.
Well, that's risky.
Right, I agree.
I mean, you lose them, and then that has a bigger impact, see?
Yeah.
So let's use 1%. So we reduce that risk. And just say, look, you know, 1% is a reasonable return on assets. So let's just, for argument's sake, make your target minimum 30,000 in revenues and your absolute minimum 10,000. Okay.
How
many clients did more than
10,000? Well, tell me if you can. I mean, I wrote this down last time, and I know I'm glad that I actually marked it. When you say our target, right? How do you differentiate? Obviously, your target and your absolute. I mean, is your absolute is, I'm saying, kind of speaks for itself. It's just basically the absolute minimum account that you're willing to take?
That's right. You're willing to take on at this time. Since you're not starting out as a new person in the business.
Right.
Right? And so 500,000 is your absolute minimum for international accounts. So it'd be 50,000. We're not going to use that. We're better than the average of all international advisors, so we have to have at least a minimum of a million.
Okay.
You know, and one of your teams I'm working with internationally, I think they have a $5 million minimum.
Okay.
Okay, so So I think, unless you tell me differently, the 1 million absolute minimum or 10,000 in PCs is what, that's the other part that I want to start, you know, focusing on, because that then makes it clear. Now, the target minimum should be the top 20% of your practice. Okay? So your practice is very centered around 30 clients. So,
right.
My guess is the top 30 clients are giving you more than 3 million. It might be, well, I don't know. You tell me. Maybe we did that now.
Well, our top 20 is giving us about a million, is about 2.6 million.
Okay.
2.650. That's our top 20.
All right, so 3 million is a reasonable. You can make it 2.5 million if you want to. That's up to you. What do you want to make as your target? You want to make 3.5 as your target then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll change that to 2.5 million or 25,000.
Now, let me ask you this another thing, because I don't know. This just skews things a little bit, because what happens, what do you do, because in that top 20 account, for example, right?
No.
We have an account that's $8 million. It's the biggest solutions revenue account for us in our book. But also within that top 20, the smallest account obviously is a million, right? So.
Yeah. So?
You know, I think that actually that if I was to exclude that account, I don't know what that would do. I mean, it was. I'll tell you in a second. It would take us to a place of. Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out more honest numbers. Like, that would take us to about 45 million, hold on, divided by 45, divided by 19. Yeah, that's about the same. It's about 2.3 million. Okay. If I exclude that very large relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're not, all of a sudden, we didn't drop down to 1.8 million or something like that. Yeah.
So keep in mind now, this is what we're going to require for new business. Right? We're going to gradually upgrade the old business. We're going to slash as much as we can.
Right.
That isn't worth much. So your question was, what do I do first? You do it simultaneously. You call your best client. I wouldn't call my very best client. I would call my client number 30.
Okay.
Right? You try out your speech on him. And then I would try out my speech on the last client.
Okay.
The one you're giving good news to, the other one you're giving different kind of good news.
Right.
Okay. Now, never call somebody where you don't have it established where they're going.
Got it.
Okay. So you want to make sure that you know where they're going. And before I forget, It's a really good idea to hire an intern to help you guys do this work.
Okay.
Okay, because you got to build folders and you got a lot of work to do here.
Right. Okay.
It's not a must, but it's going to mean you got to work
harder. I get it.
It means quite a bit of overtime, and you may not want to do that.
I might be able to pay my kids on the weekend or something.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm full committed, so we are going to, if we have to come on the weekend, we'll do it.
Family project.
Yeah, no problem.
You guys want to go on summer vacation? Family project.
Okay. But interns can be a lot of leverage, too. You know, right. I always recommend teams have interns forever. And once you hire an intern, that intern's job is to find the next intern and train them. So you don't ever have to find them or train them again.
I mean, do we have that? Does anybody, I don't even know anybody who has one here.
So you go to local university.
I think there's so much.
So you go to local university, go to the business school, ask for the best business student, smartest, that wants to get in our business.
Got it.
and then you, you interview. It takes a while. You interview two or three, but the head of the business department knows who the best people are.
Okay.
And an internship with you guys is very valuable.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you know, I recommend you pay them. I think that's a fair thing to do.
Okay.
And then teach them Supernova, have them read the book, The Supernova Advisor, read the MIT study, the Harvard Business Review study, and then at the end, after they finish their internship, before they leave, they write up a paper for their business school. And then they get a little mini dissertation on Supernova and how it affects service and what it looks like in your practice and so forth.
Okay. Okay.
And by the time you guys have done, we'll have our next book out. Well, we have our book on teams out now. It's called Supernova Teams. If you go on Amazon, you can get that one. And then the next one is going to be, I just signed the contract yesterday, and we have 13 chapters. It's done. I'm finishing reading the edits, and it's about ready to go. So that's the Supernova Multiplier.
Okay.
And that's basically this course with all the examples over the last 10 years of what we've learned and how we learned it and why, how the program has evolved and all the different levers that we pull in terms of helping you be more productive and acquire new relationships.
Right, okay. So Supernova Team we can buy already. It's just
Yep.
Man, I got a real funny By the way, I started to read your friend's book. I started it yesterday, and I was kind of tired when I started reading it, and so I only read the Death of a Dinosaur.
Yeah, what did you think?
I only got to the first 20 pages. I thought it was fascinating already. I felt like the first 20 pages could have been a book in itself.
I know. It's fascinating. It's for us in the business, it's kind of a must read.
We either
didn't live through it or we forgot most of it.
Right.
And it's all completely relevant to our business. And, I always have people that are hesitant to pick up the phone and have call reluctance and all this stuff. You read that and you go, my God, I must protect the world from these terrible FAs.
No. I mean, it was, and I was fascinated with the way that Jay Cook, the way that they went under with the railroad thing. You go through these booms. I mean, it was talked about. There was 46,000 miles of highway, interstate highway in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And when the railroads were like booming, it became like the thing. Didn't they have with the real estate boom? Right. People were just fine. There was 200,000 miles of railroad in the U.S. at that point, almost four times the highway. Yeah. And it went through a major crash. It's like real estate. It's fascinating so far, man.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a great series on Netflix about the railroad, the building of the Transcontinental Railroad.
Okay.
And it's a Western, and it takes place through the eyes of a Southern, a Confederate officer.
Okay.
Whose family was murdered by a marauding group of Yankee soldiers.
Okay.
And he joins the railroad in a quest to find these guys and kill them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's really a great series. But from an economics point of view, it teaches you what's happening in terms of the economics of the railroad.
Right.
The boom and the bust and just how crazy it was and how people went, became multimillionaires and then they completely wiped out. And it's really fun from an economic point of view.
Do you know the name of it, or?
It's called, it's called Hell on Wheels, I think.
Okay.
Hell on Wheels. I think that's right.
Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, because it's about the railroad, you know?
And yeah, that's it. I found it.
Yeah,
it's Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Rob, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
On your website, it says there, like, Joe, if you register with all his information, his credit card and all of that, and he can view other videos and how to do the files and all of that. So I went to my desk, and I tried to log in, too, with his login, and he doesn't let me. So then he logged out, and I went back, and I tried to do it with his login, and it still doesn't let me go in. Is it because it only recognizes his computer?
No, I don't. I think you got a problem. Why don't you call Cindy?
Okay.
Call Cindy Bowie, 317-650-1500.
Yeah, I have her phone number. So my question actually is, with his login, I should be able to go in, right? And be able to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys shouldn't have to pay anything, because you pay for the coaching. So
but the system asked you for a credit card. So he added it, you know, it didn't charge him anything. It asked for it and he put it on.
Okay.
And okay. I just want to be able to go and look at all those extra videos that you have there and other tutorings that you have. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Now, here's your second job. All right, we want to find out where these clients came from. So since you're going through them anyway, go through the top 30. And determine where they came from. Not just where they came from, like Al brought them in or something. I want to know where Al got them from, how he got them. What do they have in common? Did they come, you know, are they doctors from a certain practice? Are they executives from Carnival Cruise? Are they in the insurance business? Are they entertainers? Who are they? Where did they come from?
Okay,
how did you get them? Did you cold call them? Were they referred by a certain person? So you should tell me, they were referred by John Sweet, okay? CPA.
Got it. I mean,
okay.
I tell you, off the top of my head, I can already tell you, like, a lot, at least out of that top 30, at least, like, 25 of them came from our former, like, when we were at HSBC.
So referral from the banker that
That's
we had there.
From one banker to you guys?
Yes.
Well, we worked at the bank.
Okay, so do they have anything in common?
That's what I'm going to, I'll go through.
Yeah.
How did he
get them? Were they referred by a CPA to the bank? Were they from the same company? Were they, you know, what do they have in common?
They had a bank account at HSBC, and since HSBC is an international bank, it was easy for all the clients to have checking accounts. By making those deposits there, the bankers started referring those to that I remember. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
All of them had just regular checking accounts, CDs,
right,
and stuff like that.
Do they have anything in common? Meaning they told each other to open accounts, you know. They worked in the same company. They're all doctors. I don't know. Anything in common. What we're looking for, something in common.
Okay.
Okay.
So what we're looking for is that's a niche, right? I mean, it might be a niche. HSBC is a niche, but you're not going to get any more business from that.
Right.
So that doesn't count. Right. So, of course, that's one niche. The other niche It's what I call a natural niche, which is, you know, comes from what you guys did before you came in the business.
Okay.
So, you know, so what did you do before you came in the business, which I should know, but I don't. What did you do?
Well, that's like how many years ago?
I was in the military, and then I got here. What did I do? I'm trying to think back now. Cause I got in the military when I was like 24 or 25, and then I got in the business when I was, I think 26. I mean, I just worked at like a, for a year, like at an export company for a year. So I got into the brokerage business, basically.
Okay. Were you in the Army?
I was in the Army.
Enlisted?
Yep.
Okay. And the export company, do you keep in touch with them, or is it?
No, it closed. It went bust. I mean, I went bust. It went bust.
Okay, so you have absolutely no natural niche.
No.
No. Okay. No, that's good though. Then we have to go. We eliminate that. We just go to target niche. Okay. So then, and that makes it easy. So then we go to target niche.
And Marisol's been, I know you've seen her, but we have to tell people she's been in the business since she was 15. So.
That's right, you can't reduce my age.
So what did you do before Marisol? Nothing? Seriously?
No, my early, 1921, I worked at as a receptionist for an attorney's office, to state representative Alex Villalobos. And I worked with them, and then from there I went to work at a commercial bank. And then from, I was starting 25, and I started working in Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
And then since then I've been, and, you know, how old was I when I met you,
George? I don't know how old you were.
Just a few years younger than you.
I was 29.
Yeah.
I was 29, I'm 48. I just turned 48, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's.
I don't know the real age.
She's not telling you either.
I can't hide from it. They always in my birthday party, so you know what? I can't lie anymore.
There's this long pause when you ask her age.
Right.
But I'm not there. I have grandbabies already, so.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes.
You look like you're like 20.
No, it's really. You just see when she has a picture of her and her daughter together, it's like, wow. It's like, obviously, you can tell the daughters are younger, but it's amazing when they're all three together.
Sisters.
Yeah. Could be.
That's nice. Congratulations.
I think we should end the call. And Marisol will be floating on air all day. We should end right
now. No, the name is
You know, there's a blessing and a curse. You know, when you're young and you look young,
right.
People always like, you look so young. But as you get old,
you work.
I remember getting upset when people would ask me for my ID all the time. And I really now, when somebody asks me for my ID, I'm like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, I know. It's nice, isn't it? I know.
It is.
Well, I'm 72 and people think I'm, you know, 50, 55.
Look, yeah, that's not wrong.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's a huge advantage. You know, and I'm, at the same time, I'm lucky I stayed healthy.
Right.
I worked out. I won my club championship for the second time this weekend in golf.
Wow, congrats, man.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that makes you feel young again. You know, that feels good.
When you say club, what kind of a club is it?
It's a golf club.
Okay. Nice.
It's nice.
It's a beautiful golf. It's a 5-year-old beautiful golf course, the Hero. And we're over in Boca Grande, you know, on the other side of the island. So just had a wonderful couple of days, and I just enjoy, you know, I just, you know, after being in our business, well, growing up, you know, with three brothers, and
yeah.
I was playing tennis my whole life, playing tennis in college, and then I just missed the competition, you know.
Right.
And being at Merrill Lynch was perfect for me, because
yeah.
it was one big competitive game all the time, you know.
Sure.
So I looked for things like just doing, get a kick out of it and put myself in the kind of in harm's way again, you know.
Well, I know you're. I read something interesting the other day, and I listened to some. I gotta find it again. Some type of podcast, and it said something about. God, I gotta find it. I've been trying to find it where I listened to. I was just walking, and it was like a YouTube video. And it kept going to different videos, and it said something about people that have been in the military, sometimes almost to the point that they can get bored, because things are never as challenging. They always are, like, when I tell them, no, I need something harder to do. I mean, I still know I can do more. I might be sometimes a little lazy, but I said, I don't feel I'm even running at 20% of my capacity, you know? Like, I've been pushed really hard, you know? And it was talking about that, how it's very difficult to find again that type of just going through those difficulties and coming out like through it. It was just something interesting that I heard. And I want to find it again so I can listen to it again.
Yeah, it's true, I think. I mean, look, that's why I climbed all those mountains and did
right.
all that stuff for 10 years, you know? And, you know, I'm still looking for some challenge that's
yeah.
going to be hard for me. And that's why
right.
I still write, that's why I write books, and I coach still, try and unwind complicated situations like yours.
Yeah.
You know, I try and help you guys because it's fun, and it just makes my mind active, you know?
Right.
Because I don't, you know I don't need to work, you
know,
right?
No, I know.
I just do it for fun, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it
great.
Is fun. It is fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, you need to just go through and see if your clients do have things in common. I did this
okay.
exercise for one of your fellow teammates there, or it was Morgan Stanley, I'm not sure it was your office.
Okay.
But anyway, you literally went through every... you know, the top 30 clients and talked about every one of them. It's a great exercise.
Okay.
And it helps me to understand your practice, but it also is very helpful for you to see how you potentially could create some networking opportunities for yourself.
Sure.
The niches. See, the niches and networking are pretty much the same kind of thing. Once you get a niche, then what you want to do is get inside that niche and network. So you want a center of influence inside each niche. So a typical niche, you know, might be Carnival Cruise, and you have an executive in there that loved you guys, thought you were fabulous, and then he'd refer you to all the other guys.
Right.
Or a nest when it's a bunch of doctors that are all in a group. And you
right.
get one of them, and then they refer you to all the others. So it's a real opportunity. Now, typically when you have a situation like yours, where they're all referred by a person that no longer exists,
yeah.
then you have, you know, a more challenging marketing. You know, opportunity, we'll call it, but more challenging situation, because you've got to create these. You've got to create the new banker, basically.
Well, that's why Al has been trying to hire somebody to be part of the team, like somebody that will actually continue doing that, and just putting the people in front of him and just to do it. That's how...
You don't need to hire somebody, you just need to know what you're doing.
Right. I agree.
I agree with that.
I agree with just changing our focus, and even this exercise of knowing what our target client is and what we're going after already will eliminate it.
Yeah, having that other person there.
Well, think about it. If you seriously get down to 50 clients, which is pretty reasonable
right.
at this point, giving up 150K is frankly nothing. If you got
nothing,
rid of
right.
if you got rid of 70 clients, then you're yeah, right. 70 clients you get rid
yeah.
of. That's a lot of time, okay?
That's a lot of time.
And to replace that, literally, I mean, you bring in 1.5 million of new business and you replace it. Okay.
Right.
You're
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's insane.
So you need to get down to that 50 number. And guess what that does then? See? That frees up all your time.
Right. Let me ask you this, Rob. One of the things that, and I don't know if this is a niche or not, or one of the things that I do know that, okay, of our top 20 clients, right, three of them live in Haiti. And we love these guys. Like, we love these clients and love working with them. We just love how they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're very nice.
Is that, and they've asked us to come down. And so we actually, if we were going to do a trip, it would be the one trip that Al and me would probably do together. But is that any type of what you're talking about? Because we really enjoy working with them. And they're our best clients.
All right. So let me ask you, what do they do in Haiti?
Business owners?
Yeah, they're all three are business owners. All three
business.
Of them.
What business?
Well, one is, one works for a very large, he's very well off, and he works for a very large family that does construction. The other one is a younger gentleman, he's probably in his early 40s, very, very deep by another client that told us, deep, actually one of the bankers from HSBC who was Haitian. Just old Haitian money. He does basically...
That's the lottery, right?
No, that's Patrol.
Oh, okay.
He's basically a...
That's all the construction...
Construction also.
But the equipment, what is it, the machinery, that's what the company has.
Right. It's basically, I think it's just like a heavy machinery.
Heavy machinery, yeah.
Like Caterpillar tractor? Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, he has $2 million with us, and he's 40-something, and he's like the small fish. Of his family.
Right, the third one?
The third one is another family, and the father and son. The son is the one that's the $8 million relationship. Who I know he has about the same type of relationship as, I think, at Wells. They run a, basically, the lottery in Haiti, like a type of lottery down there.
Yeah, they have
a lottery.
Right. They have those machines that, like the Vegas machines,
yeah.
in different places around there.
No,
like
gambling.
Like
gambling
machines. Yeah.
Lottery machines, yeah.
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 Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere around there.
All right, so, you know, the question becomes, why haven't you guys been to Haiti already?
Yes, I know.
You know why? You're so busy handling and working for the clients that aren't paying you anything.
Right.
That is so true. Because we look at the list and the bottom clients, look at this top client doesn't give a lot of work. But the bottom ones, they're constantly asking for things.
This is a great thing, guys. Seriously.
The bottom one.
You're like my ideal case.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm delighted that this is, you know, my dad used to say, Rob, you know, if there weren't some dirt on the floor, the janitor wouldn't have a job.
Sure.
Okay. So, the question is, you know, I like to see some dirt on the floor.
Right.
It makes it easy for me to fix things.
I got you.
So we're going to go to Haiti, okay? That's the next project.
Okay. Okay?
Okay. And what you want to do is you want to think through it and you want to ask for their advice. Okay?
Yep.
And you tell them exactly what you're doing. You
say, right.
Look, we love you guys. You've invited us to Haiti, and guess what? We hired a coach, and you know what he said? Go to Haiti.
Right.
Okay?
Okay?
And they'll be like, great. And you say, all right, we would like to meet your friend.
Right.
We would like to meet people that you think we should know. That would be just like you.
Okay.
And they'll be like, awesome, we'll do it. We'll set up cocktail parties. We'll do this, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. And you spend the whole time meeting people and taking care of them. And then you say, you know what? You know what? Here's a good story, right? I mean, you learn a lot dating, right? If you're not stupid.
Right.
You know, one of the things I'll give you two things I learned from dating. One was, I always ask the girls what they liked about their previous boyfriend and what they didn't like.
Oh, my God. Okay. I like that one.
Right. And then as soon as we were having a good time, I would always ask him out on the next day.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay.
Why did that do? It made them say, this guy isn't just a one-night stand. He's a good guy.
Right.
He likes me, right?
Right.
All right? So what you want to do is go there, and while you're there, arrange for your next trip.
Got it.
Okay, so we're going to come back in 3 months and see you guys again. And they'll be like, 3 months? Yeah. It's awesome. Nobody comes
right
here.
Got it. No. I understand. Compared to those other days, you're trying to figure out how to get out of there.
Yeah.
Right. I guess we'll be our bad clients were like, how do I excuse myself out of this date, in a gentlemanly kind of way, but man, I really want to get out of here.
So one of the homework you said that Joe has to call the top client, the middle client, and the last client.
Number 30. Number 30 and the bottom guy.
And the bottom. Okay, so the top.
Yeah. And try and do as many as you can. We can do 5 next week. That's great. 5 of each.
Okay.
All right, that would be great. And then you just keep calling 5 every week.
Got it.
5 of each. 10 clients a week. So you got 5 on the top, 5 on the bottom. Up on the top, 5 on the bottom. Until you get them all full. Until you get them all done. Now, you want to be prepared. You want to know your script. And you want to be able to send them a folder. Okay? So send a folder by registered mail. So it looks good, you know, or Better Express, or whatever you guys pay probably a very low rate for FedEx. Cost you $5 or $10. And then, so send the folder in that with a nice note in it. This is your folder. You know, keep this for all our future business. We're going to have an agenda for every call. Then I'm going to send you an executive summary. All our appointments are going to be scheduled. So think of this as, you know, a meeting that's as important as any meeting that you have all week, all month.
Rob, I'm this might sound like a dumb question, but is there anywhere where we can actually, like, I'm trying to find a, visually where we can see what a folder, I'm kind of like going to the thing, it might be on the website.
Yeah, at chapter 3.
Chapter 3, okay.
Yeah, we'll give you,
Got it. Okay. Next week.
Well,
we'll go through this week. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll read
the chapter.
Yeah, it
might be
chapter 4.
Let me see. Gap analysis. Yeah, it's all in there.
Okay. Here, folder's overview. Got it.
Yeah, let's look at it.
That's one section. Got it.
Getting organized. Chapter 5, getting organized.
Okay.
Chapter 5. See, the problem is, I can't give it you all at once, so you've got to cheat and go ahead.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to kind of, you know, teach you as you go, but you've got to be sort of prepared right from the beginning.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to do something that you'd never do typically in a class you were learning.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we're sort of operating. Think of it as swimming in lanes, going down a swim lane.
Right.
We're all swimming at, all the guys are swimming at the same, and gals are swimming at the same time. So you've got acquisition swimming, organization swimming, and you've got segmentation swimming.
Right.
Client contact. So all of them are swimming down the lanes at the same time. So you can't, you say, well, which do I prefer? You're doing them all. All right. That's why it's a team effort. You really have to be kind of keep yourself organized. And that's why even in segmentation, when I talk about, you know, you can't just call your clients you're going to keep, or just the clients you're going to give away, because you want some feedback on both sides of it, okay?
Yeah.
You want to have the clients who are getting the good news, encouraging you and saying, this is wonderful, I can't wait, this is fabulous. And then on the other side, you know, you're getting rid of the time wasters, which also makes you feel good. And they're going to a better place too. You know, they're going to go someplace where people have time for them. Hopefully.
Got it.
Okay. All right. So it's a big job. And no wonder you couldn't do this yourself, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, I know. Things have started and tried, and they're like, oh, God, it's too much.
Right.
Now, you really need to have a coach go through this, because there's...
Oh, for sure.
There's all kinds of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
And, all right. So I think we're out of time, but, for a couple of weeks, we take a little more time because there's so much.
And right.
Then you'll kind of get in the rhythm of the island and feel good. I'm really excited about Angie. I think you guys, you know what's interesting? Listen to your client when you're talking. And notice when their energy is high.
Right.
The two of your energy went through the roof when you talked about him.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's why I said jump on the phone. I mean, jump on the phone and go, you know, and then go back 3 months later. You know, if it doesn't work, you've wasted 2 trips, so what? But it will work.
Right.
You'll get some big accounts out of this because your energy is so high around.
I guess we should learn this big French too. That could be my next step. Oh, really? Because, I mean, like, you get a basic on that. I mean, you always have to have challenges and you want to, like, do it. That's a big niche down there. Like, for example, his father doesn't speak English. It's the son. And if the U.S. educator, his dad speaks just, you know, French and, sorry, the Haitian dialect is what. Yeah. Should be a challenge. Yeah.
It sounds fun. You're going to have fun.
Right.
Okay.
So okay, Rob.
Yeah. And so we want to look at, so clearly, you see, with those, you brought that up. But I want you to go to those clients.
Okay.
And I want you to find out what they have in common. So you just jumped on this niche thing.
Okay.
So I want you to develop several niches. I'm not going to say how many niches yet. Let's see how many we have.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll go from there, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Okay, Rob.
Awesome.
Hi, Rob.
Thank you so much again.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.